Praise the Lord. Well, Father, we just simply put you first in our hearts this morning as we come around your word, as I share this message. I thank you, Lord, that in everything that we do, not only in the message, but in everything we do here this morning and when we leave here, it's all for your glory. And we give you the praise that you so richly deserve. In Jesus' precious name, amen. On this day, I want to talk about a man called Jabez and look closely at the prayer he prayed. We know virtually nothing about Jabez except what appears in just two verses of Scripture. Yet those two verses reveal aspects of God's character and aspects of prayer seldom examined. Many in Christian circles have never even heard of Jabez, never mind the prayer he prayed. On the other hand, since Dr. Bruce Wilkinson authored his book entitled Prayer of Jabez, Breaking Through to the Blessed Life, and published in 2001, many Christians have either gained much from the writer's revelations, or his controversial words have upset them deeply. Irrespective of which camp Christians may have gravitated to, Wilkinson's book has served a very good purpose. It has shone a spotlight on one of the Bible's less known characters. During an eventful time in Israel's history, a faithful man named Jabez prayed a simple, straightforward prayer and gained the favour and blessing of God. So after 3,000 years of obscurity, it appears Jabez has found surprising favour with the body of Christ. So let's go to the Old Testament book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, and read the story of Jabez. And Jabez was more honourable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coasts, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou would keepest me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. That's it. Short and sweet. And now before we look more closely at these two scripture passages, let's see what we can find out about Jabez. And the answer is, not much at all. But what we do know, of course, is that Jabez was of the tribe of Judah. And 1 Chronicles chapter 4 begins detailing a list of descendants, beginning with Perez. Now we remember Perez from our study of the book of Ruth. And Perez was the illegitimate son of Judah, born of Tamar, who was Judah's daughter-in-law, and she disguised herself as a prostitute in order to procreate. And Perez was recorded in the lineage of David, in fact 10 generations before King David. And the book of Ruth tells us that Perez begat Hezron, and he begat Ram, and it went on, etc., etc. Now we know from 1 Chronicles 2 verse 24 that after Hezron died, his wife Abar bore him another son whose name was Asher. And 1 Chronicles 4 verse 5 tells us that Asher had two wives, Naara and Hela. And 1 Chronicles 4 7 tells us that the sons of Hela were Zereth, Jezor and Ethnan. Good names. Want to use them, get your grandchildren to use those. And now because there were no punctuations used in the original scriptures in Hebrew, I'm proposing that 1 Chronicles verse 8 tells us that Koz was also one of Hela's sons. So if we go to the overhead, we have the original in the King James at the top, and then underneath I have reworded it in order to make sense of it in our world. And it would read something like this. And the sons of Helah were Zereth and Jezor and Ethnan and Koz. And Koz begat Anab and Zobihah and Haram, who was the father of Ahariel, of whom there were many families. Immediately after this, 1 Chronicles 4 verse 9 introduces Jabez. It is my opinion we can make the quantum leap to conclude that Jabez was numbered amongst the families of Ahariel. It's by no means conclusive, but at least it places Jabez in a family tree at a particular time. In other words, he's not a fictional character that God has suddenly made up. He's a real man, and he sits there in Scripture for us to benefit from his story. Jabez was a real person. If we go to the next overhead, I would just simply put the genealogy as such. And so the genealogy of Jabez would then read, Judah begat Hezron, who begat Asher, who begat Koz by his wife Helah, and Koz begat Haram, who begat Ahariel, who begat many families, of which Jabez was one. Simple. Now that we've enjoyed some supposition, let's put all the conjecture aside and return to the one thing that we do know for certain about Jabez. Jabez was a son of the tribe of Judah. What do we know about the tribe of Judah? Well, in Genesis 49:10, we read, Jacob prophesied over his son Judah. The scepter, the sign of the all-powerful branch, shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until Shiloh comes, that is, the man of peace or the Messiah, and to him shall be obedience of all the peoples. So, this is the lot that Judah will carry. And today we know that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was born of the tribe of Judah, of the house of David, and he remains the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And of the increase of his government, Isaiah tells us, there shall be no end. And so Jabez was one of the Lord's kinsmen, although not included in the direct line of Jesus' genealogy. Yet Jabez gets a starring role, albeit brief, amongst the Lord's scriptures. Why? Well, because Jabez, we are told in 1 Chronicles 4 verse 9, was more honourable than his brethren. He was more honourable than his brethren. This man stood out amongst his peers. He was different. He was more principled than everyone else. The Hebrew meaning of the English word honourable implies heavy or weighty or rich in doing good. Someone abounding in glorious or noble deeds. An honourable man in the eyes of all. Obviously from the description, Jabez was not simply wearing a so-called honourable mask covering a shallow heart underneath. Oh no, Jabez was heavy-hearted in wanting to do good. It saturated his soul. He was honourable, but most importantly, God recognised that he was honourable. I ask a question. As Christians, are we living lives that are more honourable than our fellow brethren? Are our hearts rich in wanting to do good at every turn, or only to do good when it suits us? Now I know it's not a competition to be better than others, but to live a life that God sees as honourable should be the foundation stone of our very existence. I've mentioned it before and I'll ask the question again today. Does our private life mirror our public life? Are they identical, or are we all living double lives? I heard the story of a man that died recently, and before he died he arranged to have two funerals. The first funeral was for his non-churched friends, and the second funeral was for his churched friends. I'm just wondering that at our funeral, Will our non-church friends be shocked to hear about the Christian life we lived, or are they already well informed about how great a faith we have in Jesus Christ? Family, let's determine every day to step out and live an honourable life. Now, 1 Chronicles 4:9, it goes on to say, "And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, 'Because I bore him in sorrow.'" We don't know what it was that caused his mother to call her child Jabez, meaning sorrowful, but whatever it wasn't good. We might presume that she may have had difficulty in childbearing, or the circumstances of her world at that time may have been very challenging. Whatever it was, we can at least determine that Jabez was born into a home that was most likely bereft of joy, happiness, and laughter. How long this lasted is unknown, but we do know that Jabez must have been taught in the ways of the Lord. For despite a negative beginning, Jabez puts behind him the difficulties of his world and chooses to live an honourable life. And then one day, he began to cry out to the Lord. Now I say began because I suspect that Jabez didn't just pray this prayer once. I suspect that it melted, as it were, into his very being, and this prayer became the very cornerstone, the fabric of his being. As individual Christians, do we own a core prayer that leads us forward and gives us purpose in life? Do we have a prayer that we pray repeatedly that aids in setting our course? Most commentaries on the prayer of Jabez mention four parts, but I believe there are five parts to the prayer of Jabez, and it's the first part of the prayer that is most overlooked. And the first part of the prayer involves Jabez calling on the God of Israel. The scriptures don't articulate what Jabez said when he called on the God of Israel to begin with, but I suspect it occupied the majority of the time Jabez spent in prayer. When we pray, how much time do we spend in praising and worshipping the Lord with words of adoration before we open up the shopping list? Family, when we pray, I believe most of our time should be spent honouring and showing gratitude to the one who created us. In 1 Chronicles 4:10, it says this, "And Jabez called on the God of Israel." The Hebrew word for called indicates that his prayer was forthright. He cried and proclaimed, most probably loudly, or with a determination. In this determination, he delivered his petition to the Lord. Now, this was no whisper prayer. This was no wishy-washy, timid and faithless approach to the Almighty. No, this prayer had meat on its bones. Jabez understood what many people don't, and that is that there is only one God, and he should remain at the centre of our being no matter what. But first we must choose to invite the living God into our life before we can ask his blessing. And no one can pray a prayer as did Jabez unless they have a close and personal relationship with God Almighty. And as we'll see very soon, Jabez deeply desired to be used of the Lord in his life. He wanted to be fulfilled by increasing his sphere of influence for God's sake. It seems that the specific sphere of influence he was seeking was not important. But what was important was that when Jabez stepped out in life, he wanted to know that God was walking ahead of him and showing him the way. In Proverbs 16 verse 3 it says this, "Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established." Commit thy works unto the Lord, and then thy thoughts shall be established. And as Christians, it's critical to understand and practice this. Jabez obviously knew this, and so he began his prayer to the one and only God who could supply all his needs. And let me say this, God wants to know that we need him. And we can only convey that message through passionate prayer. When we pray to God, it pleases him. Proverbs 15:8 says, "The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord." But the prayer of the upright is his delight. And God will answer our prayers when he sees that we trust in him completely. In 1 Chronicles 5:20 it says this, "And they, the Reubenites, the Gadites, and half the tribe of Manasseh, were helped in war, for they cried to God in the battle, and God was pleased with them because they put their trust in him." Yes, we can all learn from the life of Jabez and faithfully pray the prayer that he prayed. Let's move on to the second part of Jabez's prayer. 1 Chronicles 4 verse 10. And it reads this, "Oh, that thou would bless me indeed." We Christians use the word a lot, but what does it mean when we ask a blessing? The Hebrew word is barak, pronounced borak. It's a popular name in our culture today. It can be used two ways. Man blessing God or God blessing man. We'll look at the God blessing man scenario. Bless literally means to bestow a benefit that is altogether in abundance. In other words, a blessing is the receipt of everything we need that we might maximize our life's journey for the sole purpose of bringing glory to our God and fulfilling his purposes. That's a blessing. By praying, "Oh, that thou would bless me indeed," Jabez was seeking to maximize his life for God's sake. The third part of the prayer asks, 1 Chronicles 4:10, "And enlarge my coasts." Now, no matter which way you look at this, you can't avoid the reality that Jabez was asking for more real estate. The Hebrew word translated coasts means borders or territories. My question is though, why would a man of God seek to control more physical wealth? I believe the answer can only be singular. The only purpose God places wealth in our hands is for the shepherding in of a spiritual influence. God is all about redeeming mankind, and he will redeem mankind his way. To some, God calls us to be poor and pious. Mother Teresa, for example. To others, he calls us to be rich and famous. And still to others, he calls us to play a role somewhere in between. No matter what desire is upon our hearts, it's always for his purposes, to glorify his mighty name and for the redemption of mankind. For me personally, I've found myself praying, "Lord, enlarge my coast, allow me to have a greater influence over the lives that fall under the umbrella of authority that you've granted me. Let my coasts be enlarged, that others might see you in me and come to know Jesus as their Lord and Saviour. Yes, Lord, enlarge my coasts." I've been praying that prayer for many years. Dr. Bruce Wilkinson says he's been praying it every day for nigh on 40 years. Proverbs 10 verse 22 goes on to say, "The blessings of the Lord maketh rich, and he adds no sorrow with it." All too often, riches bring great sorrow. I like the prayer my oldest son Mark has been praying for many years, and he prays it a bit like this. "Lord, the only riches that I want you to bestow upon me are the riches that add no sorrow with it." Good prayer. And that brings us to a close this week. Sadly, Jabez is a two-part series. In a fortnight, we'll continue with part two of the prayer of Jabez and discuss the two other aspects of the prayer, and we'll offer a conclusion. Father, I thank you, Lord, that so far we are getting a handsome picture of the prayer of Jabez. And Lord, I pray, Father, that as we go away from here today, that we'll go to 1 Chronicles 4, verse 9 and 10, and read the prayer and ponder it. Lord, you said to muse over your word, meditate on it day and night. Lord, we don't want it as a formula, but Lord, or a gimmick as it were, but we do want the prayer to soak into our souls, the principles of the prayer, that we might expand on it, Lord, and make it our own. That you might bless us indeed, and that you would enlarge our coasts for your purposes. And we pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.